Ladies and gentlemen, please take your seats. The show is about to begin. Truth, lies, shenanigans. Truth, lies, shenanigans.
Hey, welcome to Truth, Lies, Shenanigans, the live streaming podcast where your hosts bring us the most interesting topics of the week to discuss and ask the question, is this truth, lies, or shenanigans? And of course, we always try to have fun with shenanigans of our own along the way with amazing guests, games, and spirited conversation. My name, Neo Nix. We have another amazing show for you today. We have a great guest joining with the shenanigans today, actor, improviser, voiceover artist, gamer, and nerd, Jessica Lynn Verdi. In our main topic today, we'll also be discussing a recent report that the Catholic Church in France found over 216,000 children were abused by thousands of priests. And this is just since the 70s. In Quickfire, we're talking Omarion and Lil Fizz, an unvaccinated woman being denied a transplant, and our TLSfans.com topic, the deleted wedding photos. As always, we'll end the show with Shenanigans the Game Show. Don't forget, any topics that get so deep we run out of time for, we'll discuss in our after show, which streams live, exclusively in our TLS Fans Facebook group. And you can sign up right now at TLSfans.com. But of course, before we get into our show, let me introduce you to our fun-loving hosts for the next hour, the professor, journalist, editor, and sports intern mentor at ESPN, Miss Lizzie Enders.
Whoop, whoop, whoop. What's up, everyone? Happy Sunday, fun day. Hope you guys are ready. I think we have a great show planned for you today. I just want to give a quick shout out before my official shout outs to Saturday college football. Yesterday was a thriller, y'all. I was sitting back trying not to be involved with work, glued to my television, three amazing college football games, off my couch, off of my bed, screaming with my drink in hand. It was a great day. But even after all of that excitement, I decided, okay, let me get away from sports for a little bit. I decided to watch Squid Games. I decided to start watching the Netflix show Squid Games. I'm curious to see if we have an opportunity, maybe in the after show.
We should talk about it.
But
no spoilers. No spoilers.
Oh, you're gonna get some spoilers in the after show.
It was interesting. But shout out to Texas A&M yesterday for defeating the evil that is the University of Alabama. What's up with that?
All right. And our gamer, tech guru, and bona fide rock star with a rock band, Fallen Machine, coming to you from Sudbury, Ontario, Mr. Robbie Rock.
What's up? It's so good to be here. Like Lizzie was saying, this is going to be a really fun show. Got a lot of good energy. This week, I had kind of an interesting situation because poor Jose, just her back was racked from working, just leaning over her computer desk. So she asked me to rub some topical cream on her that we got from our local dispensary, loaded with some good THC and CBD goodies. And after giving her a good massage, then I was like, hey, all right, I'm going to go play some video games. And I was just like, wait a minute. If I've got stupid fingers now, this is on you.
You're silly, Rob. All right. And of course, our beautiful model, actress, college student out of Atlanta, Georgia, Miss Gianni Storm.
What's up, Gianni?
Happy Sunday, fun day. It feels like summer, first of all, but I'm really excited. I want to shout out my little sister, Janaya. Her birthday is Wednesday, October 13th.
Happy birthday, Janaya.
Yes. My baby. She'll be 15 and I'll die. So.
Oh, she is a baby.
Oh, 15. So she's getting kind of grown now. Gianni, she's probably like, man, she's getting old.
It's terrifying. So if you guys have teenagers, you know. But yeah, shout out to you, Janaya. I love you.
All right. And this season, well, let's start with our quick fire. This season, Our hosts share a topic, but we only have 3 minutes to discuss and 1 minute for audience comments. So audience out there, get your comments in there fast. Let's get started. All right, Gianna, you're taking TLSfans.com topic submitted by Jacqueline Robinson. Tell us about it.
Yeah. Okay. An anonymous photographer has gone viral online after sharing the story of how she deleted her friend's wedding photos at the wedding after he turned out to be a groomzilla. So the photographer says she started out at 11 a.m. and was supposed to finish by 7:30 p.m. She recounts around 5 o'clock, she became hungry and it was hot outside. She needed to take off about 20 minutes, you know, to eat, get some refreshments. She told the groom that that's what she was going to do. He tells her, you're the photographer. There are no breaks. So she asked him again, are you sure I can't take a break? He says no. So she then begins to delete the photos in his face. And now she posted this story on Reddit and a lot of people are taking for her. My question to the panel is, should the photographer have a plate at the wedding? And what would you have done if he deleted your photo?
Bobby.
It's disrespectful. You don't treat a friend like that. If they're doing you a solid and hooking you up for $1,500 under the going rate for a professional photographer, take care of your friend. Respect your friend. Otherwise, it's just abuse. And if I found, I would never find myself in a situation like that because I value people's time and expertise and their generosity. But if I were in a situation like that, I would then just create some kind of online group and ask all of my guests to submit photos and make the best of the situation. Because if they're deleted, they ain't coming back. And that's on me because I was an asshole.
Yeah. Lizzie?
I think it should be noted first and foremost that this wasn't just a photographer. This was a friend of the bride and groom who initially had been invited to the wedding, who initially had filled out an RSVP giving their dinner selection for the reception. So it already should have been a given that they were going to be fed. But even outside of that, listen, I've been in 8 weddings in my life, always a bridesmaid, no shame over here, but I've also been to a host of other weddings outside of that. And I've never seen a situation where at least the photographer has not been fed. And initially, this photographer wasn't asking for a plate, even though they initially thought they were going to get a plate. They were asking for time to step away so they can get something to eat. Yeah. And it was the groom who was like, hell no. Right. And if you step away, you're not going to get paid. And so that's when this photographer was like, okay, if you ain't paying me, delete. Right.
Let me get up in here. I personally thought it was hilarious. I was initially torn. On one hand, it's a photographer's job to take the photos, but come on, you got an extreme discount. When me and my wife got married, we got a discounted rate from a friend and nowhere near that price, but it was in our contract to give them a plate.
There you go.
It was in the contract. Sometimes you get what you deserve, you know, so karma sucks. So I'm not mad he deleted it. I would have deleted him too. All right. Is this truth, lies, or shenanigans, guys?
Oh, shit.
I'm going with truth.
I keep saying the truth. I need to get a bullshit sign. I need to give a bullshit sign.
True.
This is such bullshit.
I would have deleted the hell out of those photos. What would you have done, Gianni? Real quick, Gianni, you ran out of time. What would you have done?
I wouldn't have deleted the photos, but I would have held it over his head like, are you going to pay me more? Like, what is it called? Yeah. Extortion? No, it's not extortion. But I would have been like, are you going to give me enough for this? It's been 2 weeks. You want your photos. Like that.
So real quick on the comments, George Fournier says, I would sue, laugh out loud. And Paulette Bertrand said, should have been discussed before the wedding. Exactly. Like we had it in our contract. Like she's like, I saw Jacqueline Robinson who actually came up with the topic. Absolutely. It's bad enough they only paid her $250 cheap. Was it 250 or 1500?
Yep. It was 250.
$200. That's ridiculous. My wedding planner included the cost of meals for the photographer, singers, catering contract, etc. I could never imagine having someone work a wedding on a Saturday night without feeding them. Just horrible. Right. George Fournier says the photographer should have recognized the importance of the day and not deleted the pictures.
Disgusting. Whatever. How about the bride and groom recognize the importance of the day. You don't shortchange people on the best day of your life. And remember, initially, this photographer was asking for a break. Not to be fed. He was
I thought it was asking to be fed. I thought it was, you know, and which is reasonable. But I see what he's saying. I mean, discuss it after the wedding, though. I agree with that. I still would have deleted him personally. But.
Yeah. And had no shame about it. No shame. You're not going to shortchange me.
You don't
me.
Care about me. Well, I don't care about you.
Exactly. And I'm supposed to be your friend.
All right. We comes in after show. We cover it in after show. All right.
I'm supposed to be your friend. Whatever.
All right, Lizzie, let's get to your topic. We have, you got an interesting quick fire. Let's go.
So my topic involves this young woman who is a cancer patient. She has stage 5 cancer. She's in Colorado and she needs a kidney transplant, right? And so she's also an anti-COVID vaxxer. And so she was told by the hospital where she was seeking to get the transplant, where she was initially on the transplant list, that if she does not get the COVID vaccine, she is no longer eligible for the transplant. This became huge headlines, not only in Colorado, but also nationwide. And so in turn, citing her reasons for not wanting to get the transplant as the current vaccinations for COVID are associated with stem cell research, and she is anti-stem cell anything. Therefore, she is choosing not to get the vaccine. Henceforth, not being eligible for the transplant. So my question to the panel is, who's wrong here? Not necessarily who's wrong, but more specifically, is the hospital wrong? Let's go to Gianni.
Yes.
I was struggling on this one because there are ethical issues, I feel like, when it comes to and I've read a couple of articles that considered it coercion, like medical coercion for her to be vaccinated before receiving a transplant. So I feel torn, but there was a good argument made that if she she's acting almost selfishly when it comes to this transplant, because there are people that are vaccinated and also receiving transplants. So there are people following the rules and receiving Robbie. This herd immunity, Robbie. And she's not. So there's.
Yeah, so I think that it makes sense to me. If my doctor can tell me to quit smoking as a condition to be under their care, and this is the same principle but applied in the surgical area. The healthcare system has a responsibility to ensure that resources are distributed fairly and to reserve transplants for those with the greatest possible positive outcome. So a kidney transplant for someone who may contract the Rona and die of their symptoms, or to reserve it for someone who, if they contract the Rona and have the vaccine, have a much higher probability of survival, is the responsible choice to make.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't think it's wrong. I mean, I think every transplant, every situation has to be taken case by case. And there are probably some situations where it doesn't make sense to get the vaccine. But if I have to make a choice personally between, okay, my doctor's, yes, it's a threat, a risk taking the vaccine, and the risk of dying from kidney failure, I'm going to choose getting kidneys and getting the vaccine.
Also, people need to understand that risk management is a part of the healthcare system, is a part of the medical management of patients. And if you look at organ donations, the organ transplant system, getting the COVID vaccine is actually at the bottom of the list. You have to go through several different protocols and requirements. You have to be completely vaccinated, even without COVID. You have to be completely vaccinated. You can't be a smoker. If you're a previous smoker, you have to stop smoking. If you're an alcoholic, you have to stop drinking. You can't have any diseases. If they find that you are violating those protocols, you get tossed off the list.
Okay.
So this is not uncommon.
Because the fetal cells. So it was a religious reason, which, like I said, I understand like the ethical issues.
We got to cut it.
I do.
Got to cut it for time.
But even with the fetal cells, the medications post transplant, the medications for that include medications that have fetal cells.
I might have to get a mute button. I'm going to have to start getting a mute button.
Sorry.
All right. So let's get to these comments online. Jessica Lynn Verdi, I'm dying in the green room.
We coming to you, Jessica.
I mean, she's laughing. She's having a good time. All right. So let's see. We got Let's see. I'm sorry. I lost it for a second. Jose says, I was hoping somebody would pick this topic. Mike Winter says, the Pope has already said that the vaccine is not anti-Catholicism. Also, the real problem is the immunosuppressive drugs that we'll need to take post-transplant. George Fournier says, at least in Canada, and I suspect it's the same as the U.S., they won't give a liver transplant to an alcoholic. Organs are so rare that conditions should attach to organ donation. Same should apply to COVID as well. Jack Rob says, I realize there is an ethical oath doctors take. However, we're in a triage situation now, and those who have the best chance of survival should take priority.
Yeah, that's how all of their
If I need a liver transplant and they told me to stop drinking tomorrow, okay, I'm done. No more Stoli for me. I'm done.
All right, let me get to the next. All right.
So what do we call it on this?
Good call. Shenanigans.
Truth. She brought this on herself.
Girl, you better take that vaccine and save your life. You better take it.
This is so sad. That's a...
All right.
Ooh, what is this, Neo?
So much of our audience may or may not be aware of the boy band B2K, but tensions have been high between bandmates of the group after band member Lil Fizz started dating bandmate Omarion's former fiance and mother of his two children, April Jones, some of which played out on television Love and Hip Hop Hollywood. Well, Fizz recently apologized to Omarion publicly when he joined Omarion live on stage at the Millennium Tour, saying, I want to sit here humbly and sincerely apologize for any turmoil or dysfunction I caused between you and your family. Omarion seems to have accepted the apology, calling it appropriate. My question is, did Fizz break the friend code, and would you have accepted the apology after a friend did something like that? I'll start with Lizzie.
I mean, I do have a code. You know, if I'm fucking with somebody, if I'm dating somebody or whatever, anyone who knows me closely, intimately, they're off limits. However, this is Hollywood. There are no boundaries in Hollywood. This happens all the time. Eric Clapton married his good friend George Harrison's wife, Patty Boyd. Jermaine Jackson married his brother's wife. I'm not saying it's right, but I'm saying this is the culture, the world that they live in. Jermaine Jackson married his brother Randy's wife.
I'm going to ask Jessica.
Like, this is nothing. This is nothing new. So
he's in Hollywood. And I'm going to ask her.
Yeah, Hollywood is different. It's a different code there. It's a different code there.
Robbie?
At the very least, it's a conversation. If you have developed genuine feelings for your friend's baby mama, former ex, then that's a conversation with your friend. And you ask them if they would be cool with it. And whether or not the apology was sincere, like, I watched it, and it was definitely a public fanfare of an apology. So based on that, the only way that I could accept that apology is if he would have approached me prior to the show, before making a big public PR stunt apology. The words were sincere, but at the end of the day, we're talking about B2K.
Gianni, real quick.
Who? B2 who?
Real quick, we run out of time.
I was gonna say first, I can't even get mad at the friendship thing because I don't believe they were ever friends. That's not possible. Ooh. I can get mad at the baby mom, and I think that it was on her part. I'm the most angry because I feel that's horrible. That's horrible. But the friendship, I don't think they were friends. I think they were just bandmates. And even Lil Fizz himself denied them being friends. So that's a good one. Okay.
I got 10 seconds. I would have accepted this shit. The friendship would have been done for life. I could see working through a situation for work.
Gianni said they weren't friends. I think they weren't friends.
So if they weren't friends, then
fine.
Okay. That changes the dynamic a little bit. I don't know. I was under the impression they were friends. All right. But either way, I might have saved face and had a public face and apology and stuff like that just to make sure I could keep making money. But I wouldn't have forgiven him at all.
Yeah, it did seem fake. Sure.
All right. Truth, lies, shenanigans.
Oh, shenanigans. I mean, it's a who? B2 who? Who are these people? B2K. That's what it is. It's a who? Yeah. Who?
I mean, to your to your point, Fred Hargrove says, who? And then Jose responded with, seriously, like, who? all right, so Jacqueline Robb says, two of my best girlfriends fell out because of this issue. They made up, but the friendship was never the same. As Simon would say, it's a no for me. Olivia says, this was a whole bunch of old names. It's not that usual, and it wasn't so captivating.
It's all over Hollywood. Trust me. You look up Hollywood's Dirty Secrets, they all sleeping with one another.
And
all of them.
Mike Winter says, Nia, that totally fits what I expect you to say. I'll leave it at that. All right, that was good. That was a lot of fun, guys. That was a lot of fun. Good, oh, great discussion. Gianni, who was our sponsor today for Quick Fire?
Okay, so our sponsor today is Sabrina's Hair Galore, and you should shop Sabrina's Hair Galore and More this October and receive 15% off your order automatically at checkout. Use the link in the description.
All right. All right, it's time for our guest spotlight. She's been waiting in the green room. Our spotlight today is on Jessica Lynn Verdi.
I'm so ready. How do you not? I can understand why you don't have a guest talking during your little thing. Oh, I have so many hot takes.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming.
Do you know all B2K? Right. Do you know B2K? Omari?
They're probably old friends.
There's another podcast out there that goes celebrity or who are they? And those people are, who are they? And B2K does sound familiar, but I also was getting it confused with BTS, which is the Korean pop. You know,
that's hilarious.
I like music, and we were talking about that before the show, but I'm out of it. I've been out of it for the last 5 years, and that's when I start realizing, like, oh, I'm not the cool generation anymore.
Yeah, so. we're definitely not the cool generation. So let me introduce our audience to Jessica Lynn Verdi. She is from a small town called Los Angeles.
A lot of my friends make fun of me. I'm just going to let you talk about me. Don't worry. We're good.
She's produced and directed several improvised shows, including Glam, X-Files Unclassified, Actor's Nightmare, and most recently, Heartbeats, a completely improvised medical dramedy performed live on Twitch. Her production skills also extend to podcasts such as Flip the Script, You Don't Know, Nick, you don't know Nick, okay, and Dungeons and Derek. Her voiceover work can be heard in many places, including the voice of Best Buy for 2 years. And she's also a weekly host of the podcast Sci-Fi 5 for the Roddenberry Podcast Network. She can be found regularly on Twitch channel, playing video games with friends, doing one-shot RPGs, impressive, and rating geeky franchises by their most bangable characters.
Listen, Jessica. Someone's got to do it.
Thank you so much.
Someone's got to do it. And thank you so much. Thank you. There's a lot of holes in the market. Success is finding the holes in the market. And I found a lot of them and I plug them. So,
right.
Good for you.
So before we get thank to those you. Quick fire topics, I want to give you an opportunity to share a little bit more about yourself and ask that you include something that we can't Google about you.
Yeah. You know, I was racking my brain and Lizzie was like, you can improvise. I don't know. What's not Googleable? So everyone knows that I have hats.
You have hats?
I look okay in hats. That's not something you could Google.
That's fair.
There's not a pair of sunglasses I haven't met that doesn't like me. That's okay. Cool too.
That's Googleable.
I don't know. I used to play softball. What position?
Okay.
I was second baseman, which when I first got like cast in the role of second baseman, I was like, that's lame. They don't do anything. But actually, it's a good, important role. You know, you got your shortstops that have a lot, like, you know, they're not the third, you know, the shortstops get a lot of glory. But second baseman's doing it just on the other side of the field. So I got most improved player. Because my brother was.
Effort.
Yes, exactly. 100%. I was on that, you know, culture that like, here's the award for participating. But my brother was like the athlete. And I liked basketball, but I wasn't good at it. I liked baseball. I wasn't good at it. I wanted to be on the football team, but my dad's like, you can't play with boys. So softball was the, I know. He's right and wrong. He's right and wrong. So I ended up doing water girl for my high school football team for a little bit until it started.
Water girl, okay.
It was.
That's not. Is that Googleable? That might be not.
I don't think that's Googleable.
That's right.
The water girl.
I have stories. It was.
We need a movie. We need a movie. Water girl.
Water girl.
Mm-hmm.
Water girl. I love that.
It's the baby. You need the baby of Bobby Boucher.
I love it.
That's not a bad idea. Okay, yeah. So that's it. I was a water girl for a little bit. I got to hang out with sweaty boys. It was fun.
All right. So, what were your thoughts on Little Fizz and Omarion?
I know
you were scheming in the green room.
I got so many opinions. So,
did he break the guy code, the friend code?
Did he break the guy code? Someone was sleeping with someone without telling someone, and that relationship was already bad to begin with. So, if she's going out and sleeping with the friend. And Lizzie's right. Like, there is some sort of we're all high and let's get drunk tonight. And let's, see who we can bang. I'm under the assumption that most relationships are open in Hollywood and they just don't talk about it. I actually, even though we know Jay-Z did cheat, I'm pretty sure she's dating a couple boys, he's dating a couple girls. And as long as they don't leave each other, they're together.
So you're saying that's the standard in Los Angeles, in Hollywood.
I can't say it is. But
for a fact, it is.
I also, as a young lady who had less morals, I also took a guy that my friend was sleeping with, and I was like, "Well, they're at least not together." And I'm not saying I'm a good person here, and I'm not saying I'm a good person.
I'm not judging. I'm judging. Okay,
but you should. But she, to her credit, she's like, "I'm not going to be able to talk to you for a little bit," and we're actually better friends now, but that's because we were also that guy is long gone, but and she's actually still friends with him. At the end of the day, she was the bigger person. She said, he's the worst. But my point
they
is
usually are. They usually a little are. Bit,
exactly. Usually not worth it. Very, very, true. Very few penises are worth it. So, you
very few day, penises. Oh wow, okay.
Oh, just say
truth. It's the truth.
I don't know what this is. I don't know. Every girl has a penis she regrets.
Some of us have several.
I have zero.
My personal opinion is my personal experience was enough time, enough respect, enough growth, and being willing to admit, being able to go, hey, I actually did screw up here, made for a stronger relationship. Yeah. And it's possible that those two boys actually had a apology ahead of time and then went on stage and did it. We just won't know what politics and PR company said you needed to do this.
In relationship counseling, they tell you that how you come out of conflict and problems is, defines how good of a friendship you really have or how good of a relationship you really have.
That's really, it's also hard to know until you've been through it that when you have adversity, if you take the time to go, well, where's this person coming from and where am I coming from? And try to find common ground, you'll actually get to know and love that person better. If you're coming at it the right way.
Yep.
It's potentially. Yep. Mm-hmm. Or respectfully and go, someone told me you can love crazy from across the street about that same guy too. He's like, but I love him. He's like, love him from across the street. I was like, you're right. I don't need him in my life.
As a friend, why are you in my business? Why are you trying to be where I have been? And where are we going to go with this friendship afterwards? You expect us to trade stories? You expect me to be the shoulder you cry on when he fucks you over? Absolutely not. I just, for my friendships, and everyone knows this about me, there is a border. There's a line. There's a border. And that's one thing that I protect. My shit is over here. Your shit is over there. Let's stay in each other's lane. Let's stay in each other's lane.
There's Winter points out,
6
Will
billion
and
people on the planet.
Ah, yeah.
That's different. That's different, though. More they weren't Winter entangling. They weren't entangling with each other's friends. They were just cheating.
They were cheating. The way that they put it, which was also vague, to be fair.
Okay, Jessica.
Hold on. They were about to break up, and she was sleeping with that guy. Yeah, they were
married.
That's what I read.
Still married.
They were still and then Will, married, but they were
and
like
then Will,
separated.
Did you follow up, though? But Will said after separate. The fact, Will acknowledged that he had his own entanglements. So
I think that they were on the rope. And they, he even said in the Red Table talk that like we were done. Like he said, I was done with you. So I think they were dating, but not publicly split up, which I imagine the majority of people that are publicly split up as Hollywood people, we don't know that they hadn't been together for 2 years. You know, they have. Mm-hmm. And also, if you notice, most of those news pieces are shared on Friday so that we forget about it. It's amazing. Like whenever something drops on Friday. It's so
let's bring this back up in the after show. Jessica's going to stick around. So let's bring this back up in the after show. Robbie, did you have a question for Jessica?
Whoa, a few. Because I really enjoyed checking out your stuff just leading up to this segment. But from your demo reel, I really enjoyed Karen's character. This is someone that I think could be cast in Sunny in Philadelphia. She really strikes that nerve with me. So what is your inspiration for Karen? And was the name chosen very deliberately?
Okay. So I'm going to give a little bit of context. I'm so honored that you love this character. I'm in an improvised, all-female improvised group called Ripley Improv. And one of the shows we created was called Glam, the Gorgeous Ladies of Arm Matches. And we learned how to do long-form narrative improv. So we'll take like a full show or Shakespeare and improvise the shit out of it. So we took Glow and we improvised our own arm. Instead of fake wrestling, we fake arm match. And so in order to build the show, we got to like feel out what characters we wanted to play. And I was just getting into this phase of chaotic neutral or chaotic evil with my RPG world. And we needed an antagonist, but also like a troubled antagonist. So Karen, this was before we were talking about Karens being what Karens are. I just knew it was an ugly ass name. And I was like,
wow.
Yes.
Karen's doubly bad for you.
First of all, I have an aunt Karen who, rest in peace, was lovely and amazing. But Karen has a connotation and I knew it in 2016. And so I knew that like there's this phase that most actors or actresses may go through or may never come out of where you're like, I just want to look beautiful. I just want to show, I want to be the hero in the RPG campaign. I want to be the ingenue. And then I had just gotten into space. I was just turning 30 and I was like, fuck everything. This person sucks. She's a stripper. She has a baby. She doesn't know who the dad is. And so, and there is some of that archetype in the actual show Glow. But it was just really nice to play this troubled, bitchy Karen person. It was really fun. And she's very misanthropic, which ends up showing up a lot in my tabletop. Like characterizations. I really like that just by starting off with a hard exterior, it gives you a lot of arc movement throughout a storytelling. I love that she could be in It's Always Sunny in Philadelphia. I got to get them a demo reel. It's a great idea.
Gianni.
I actually have a few questions, but really quick, your last name Verdi is unique and beautiful. Can you tell us a quick backstory?
That's so sweet. It's not our real last name. So
I didn't know that.
So first of all, I'm going to take the compliment. It is different.
It's somebody's real last name.
It's a real last name.
We own it though.
My grandfather was bastardized at the age of two. I guess his dad like took off. Like, I don't want anything to do with this kid. And my grandfather left his family or his mom like when he was 16. Ends up meeting a man named Father Verdi in probably New Jersey or something, and takes the surname because it was the closest thing he ever had to a father. Ah. I didn't know this until my grandfather had died, but I had always felt like Verdi wasn't us or wasn't me. And I struggled with whether I wanted to have a stage name or not, because I didn't know if it had the gravitas or if people, I don't know. It's first of all, at the end of the day, whatever you put out there, people are going to go, oh, cool. So even if I was just, you know, Baby J, someone would be like, cool. She's cool. Baby J. That's who she is.
True.
You know, so Jessica Lynn Verdi, I actually had to do Jessica Lynn Verdi because there's already a Jessica Verdi in SAG. So that's interesting. So while I've learned to love the story of it, I'm really curious to who he was, what is our real last name, where is the lineage. I used to think we were like related to Giuseppe Verdi, who is an Italian composer from way back when.
That would have been cool.
It would have been cool because there's a lot of music. My grandmother wrote for Motown. My brother's got a record deal with Universal right now. there's a lot of music, so it would have made sense. So much music. I almost did that. I almost did the music path, but I didn't want to do it every day. It's a whole nother story.
Wow, you're like really talented. So you sing and you write. I mean, you sing and you play as well.
Here's what I say, and I mean, I've learned to not be overly humble about it. Whatever artistic thing I touch, I can do very well, and I was very blessed with that ability. And so acting seems to encompass all of that. But I have a painting over here. I have some drawings that, you know, I could, I'm very blessed.
Sound like Robbie. Robbie has a lot of, he dabbles in a lot too.
I mean, that backdrop for you with all those guitars, I want to just hang out with you guys. That's cool.
It's a fun room.
Yeah, I can tell. Gianni, what were you going to say? I feel like you were going to say something.
I actually was going to say, how do you do everything? How do you have this many productions that you're working on and you're able to tap into different characters? Because I know that you do have this personality. It seems that you're very, I don't know, you're very flexible, free spirit, I would say. So you said it comes natural. Is that what you would say, or is there anything else?
Wow. That was very perceptive of you. I think improv made it so that when I'm working on a project, or I'm doing improvised shows and heartbeats. I dropped a link in there in case anyone was interested. We're basically improvising a TV show live on Zoom in front of, you know, on Twitch. What that means is you have to kind of accept the limitations of that someone's going to say the wrong thing. That's the technology is not going to work. Mm-hmm. We have very little control over most things. So I would say as I've grown as an artist, in order to be able to do things, it's A, recognizing that I don't need to do it all by myself, that including other people in that process makes it better. And also knowing when to go, I'm really tired today. This thing can stop. I will say I could probably stand to have a little bit better business acumen so that actually I'm just selling this project. So I'm just the producer in time. But the pandemic actually really brought this whole production side of me more alive, because I was making good money doing the Best Buy stuff, and then the world changed. Like, I wasn't as motivated to create crazy things. I always had ideas, and I've produced different shows here and there, but I didn't have podcasts until the podcast. I didn't. Heartbeats was happened because of the pandemic. So time, place, accepting. Yeah, it's been a really interesting journey, and it's exhausting. I'm not going to lie and say that it isn't, but it's constantly assessing balance, you know, totally. Even today, someone today was like, hey, I you're cool in this area. I don't actually need you for this anymore. I was like offering to do editing for them. And you know what? While it feels like a momentary rejection, at the same time, it's like it doesn't align. So the universe always pulls me back into what aligns, usually.
Yeah.
All right, Liz,
Baby. Our show is a podcast, baby. Yeah. So don't feel bad about that. No. You know, we started in April, kind of March, April of last year. So we're kind of in the same boat. My question for you is about improv. Yeah. Like, how do you prepare for improv? And are there any limitations on your part when you are doing improvisations?
Wow. So I think improv was always going to happen. I came to it late, though. And I needed it in order to be less afraid of what I couldn't control and less guarded with what I was going to say. So I was always afraid of being, if I was going to be funny enough or would actually like what I was doing. So I needed to constantly be in this practice set of without a net, no script. It's all you. And then you learn with improv, it's actually really not you. It's who you're with. I'm just here to make my partner look good. So if you focus on making your partners look good, and if they're focused on that, everyone looks good. So I really, at the end of the day, what improv has given me is the philosophy to breathe, be okay with the fact that I have no idea what's going to happen. You know, there was like a world where I was going to, I was almost like really a bitter bitch. I was like, oh, I hate that this guy's successful. I wish I was successful. I actually hated, of all people, Scarlett Johansson. I was like, why would I hate Scarlett Johansson?
I mean, some of us still hate her. There's a different conversation.
Yeah, Lizzie doesn't like her.
I like Scarlett.
Well, I love she's Scarlett. Also problematic in so many different... She's not perfect. That
oh, no,
said,
no, no,
I'm
perfect.
I also just watched Black Widow last night. I've learned to love her. So here's my point.
I was very bitter that she was successful and I wasn't. It was a weird thing.
Yeah,
and
that's not why I hated her.
Comparison.
I understand. And then as I started pursuing my own dreams and stopped being bitter about where I was and where I wasn't, I didn't care as much, right? And I have my SAG card because I sounded enough like Scarlett Johansson that Best Buy hired me to do all the work that she was
doing. Oh, wow.
So weird that my...
That is right.
It was karma. Wow. So the longer I was going to be bitter or judgmental about my other people or my situation or what have you, or didn't keep my eyes on my own paper, it was only going to hold me back. So improv put me in stress mode over and over and over again. And it really has helped my social anxiety, my personal way I show up to things. I'm not perfect, but it's also taught me to accept that I'm not perfect. And if you're not going to dig it, it's on both of us, right? Like it's, I'm not going to lose sleep tonight. Yep. Anyway, it was a life changer for me. I truly believe everyone should find an improv class in their town or online and take it, no matter who you are.
I'm on it. Right. That's one of my primary goals. And unfortunately, that's all the time we have, Jessica, for this part. I mean, we definitely, you said you'd stick around for the after show. So we can go longer there. We can go longer there. So stick around. But Jessica, I do want to thank you so much for joining us because your energy is definitely infectious.
Yeah,
if you can, just give me some shout outs and take a minute to just say any final words, promote anything you'd like to promote.
Sure. Now through November 5th on Fridays at twitch.tv/RipleyImprov, you're going to watch our Heartbeats show, which is a completely live improvised medical dramedy. It's fucking great.
It's
9 p.m. Eastern. It is. You can watch all the old episodes on YouTube if you want to catch up. But if you can't watch it, just go. Or if you want to hang out with me, I stream 3 to 4 times a week at twitch.tv/JessicaNerdy. And that's a great way to keep up with whatever I'm doing and also make me do ridiculous things and play video games.
What are your supporters' names or your community name?
Oh, it's such a good question, Gian. You have your fingers on the pulse. We're the Justice League because for some reason, I always seem to be...
Justice League! Nice!
Thank you!
Nice!
Exactly. Because I always get short shifted. Shafted something, and so we need to get justice for Jessica.
J-E-S-S, justice. I love it.
Nice. The whole Discord community. Everyone makes fun of me all day. It's been, I always thought it was bad to be the butt of the joke, but it's now my brand. So.
All right. Well, thank you again, Jessica, for joining
us.
Thank you
all. And we'll see you in a little bit.
We'll catch you in the after show. Yep. Absolutely.
Fun guest.
All right, we got to get into it. We're behind on time, so let's get a little deeper into those headlines.
Truth, lies, shenanigans.
RB, you want to talk about the Catholic Church and these children? Talk to us.
Absolutely. After all that positive energy, here comes Captain Bringdown. So, breaking news from France on Friday. There was an independent inquiry commissioned by the French Catholic Church in 2018 that has finally been completed. That inquiry revealed that 216,000 children, most of them boys, have been sexually abused by clergy members in the French Catholic Church since 1950. Another 114,000 were abused by lay church workers, such as teachers at Catholic schools. So now this is only for the last 71 years in one country. Investigators sifted through civil and church records for at least 2.5 years and conducted interviews with victims and witnesses in order to compile their information. The 2,500-page-long report identifies the vast majority of victims were boys, most of whom were 10 to 13 years old. The inquiry also revealed that there were approximately 3,000 abusers involved during that time. So now, according to a Vatican statement, Pope Francis only learned about the report after he met with visiting French bishops earlier in the week. And part of the statement is that his first thoughts are for the victims, with a deep sadness for their wounds and a gratitude for their courage in coming forward. His thoughts also turn to the church in France, and that in recognizing these terrible events and united by the suffering of the Lord for his most vulnerable children, it can take the path of redemption. So, really, how can the Catholic Church redeem itself from this? And what should be done about the Catholic Church, the Vatican, Vatican City?
Let's start with
Mio.
Okay, you want to start with me?
We never start with you.
Usually I'm trying to work on transitions. That's why you didn't start with me.
He's like, give me time.
Hey, give me a second, you know. Let me settle for a half a second. I'm actually glad you started with me because, you know, this always resonates with me when we're talking about atrocities towards children. And it bothers me. We're looking at 200. When you said this to me and I saw the numbers, I was appalled. 216,000 children abused. Just, you know, in my mind, I would think that, you know, over a century, maybe just in the last couple of decades, few decades, we're talking about 216,000 by more than 3,000 clergy people. Mm-hmm. I mean, that just shows you this is basically like sex trade. We're basically talking about sex trade. We're talking about children being used to provide services for clergy of the Catholic Church. And that's horrible, horrible that these children were put through that, sexually abused. And there's, it's never always limited to sexual abuse. You know, we talk about sexual abuse, but abusers tend to abuse in multiple ways. It's never just, it's psychological, it could be physical, it could be any number of ways. So, you know, this is just tragic. And again, only in France. These numbers are only in one country, a tiny country at that. Just think about the world. We're talking Brazil, the U.S., huge countries. It's appalling to me. Mm-hmm. Sorry, let's go with Liz. Oh, no, Gianna's got her hand up.
Oh, go ahead, Gianna. Oh,
okay. Because Rob asked a specific question. He said, what should be done to the Catholic Church? Because I noticed, Rob, that you mentioned the Pope said something like, we offer redemption, like they can redeem themselves, basically. Maybe there's some type of something where they could go through to receive. I don't know. How do you clean child molesters? How do you like cleanse that? I don't understand that. But what I would do is, first, it's criminal. I think that it should be investigated and people should be arrested for it. It's criminal. And over 300, and I read that it said over 330,000 children were abused because these were claims in prosecution against the Catholic Church worldwide, not just in France. So that number, that statistic really, 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 really shocked me. And I'm surprised that there hasn't been any prosecutions yet. I know a lot of these things date back to years, 30 years, decades, like you guys say, but this was systematic. So if it's something that was within the system of this religion, then there should be prosecution today.
It still pisses me off they won't acknowledge it the way, I mean, they're halfway still acknowledging it. It's not really addressing it, is he?
So my indictment here isn't of the Catholic Church. It's of us, the human race. You know, the Catholic Church, knowing all of this, this isn't a new story. This isn't breaking news. Sure. This isn't something that we found out just yesterday. This has been going on for decades. Actually, like Rob B. pointed out, over a century. But yet the Catholic Church has not really lost any popularity. It hasn't lost any funding. It hasn't lost any membership, if you will. If anything, it's become even more popular, and you have more Catholics who are devout and who are making excuses for the church. So this is an indictment on us as a people. Like, the Catholic Church can't exist without its members, without its congregation. So what does this say about us as people who accept these religious doctrines, who accept these priests, who accept the Pope time and time again without any judgment, without any consequences?
So you're suggesting lifelong Catholics just leave the Catholic Church altogether on reform?
I'm suggesting that they have a stronger voice and work on reform and not, you know, I mean, and it's not just the Catholic Church, but because we're talking about that for this argument, but you see it time and time again, because someone is, you know, a priest, a pastor in the Baptist church, someone who has any type of celebrity, someone who has any type of influence over a group of people, they seem to be exempt they seem to be, you know, not considered for making wrong decisions or for being criminal or for being, you know, abusers of children. We accept this over and over and over again in our society as a people. And that allows the Catholic Church for a century and beyond to continue to lie, abuse, and cover up over and over again. So at some point, we have to look at ourselves. And when I say look at ourselves, I don't mean absolve the Catholic Church. We can't keep pointing the finger at the church and we don't do anything.
And you're giving them money.
And we don't step up.
Them, right.
Exactly.
Robbie, your thoughts exactly. Got there, so.
Yeah. So, Johnny, as you alluded to, most cases assessed by the inquiry are thought to be too old to be prosecuted under French law because we're going back 70 years. The 300,000 figure that you brought up isn't worldwide. That was 210,000 for the Catholics, for the clergy, and 110,000 was basically like Catholic school teachers. So people who are aligned with the Catholic Church, and this is all still
in
France.
One country. It,
still within France for the last 70 years. So if we go global, this is just a drop in the bucket because this has been going on for more than 70 years. They just, that's the records that they had for them.
Okay, millions of children potentially.
I wonder why just little boys. I know they're, I know it's random.
I'm so glad. Here's the history lesson.
Go ahead, Robbie.
So the ability to marry for Catholic priests was removed during Roman times because the church was tired of seeing its land holdings get divested by dowries. And that was the tradition. They weren't allowed to get married, but then family tradition provided that the father provide land to his sons and dowries for his daughters. The church didn't want to keep losing their holdings, so they forbade priests from marrying, and then they surrounded them with altar boys. They deprived They deprived leaders of their basic humanity, and then they protect them when they harm their victims. So like I was alluding to during an earlier conversation, it's like prison. You don't necessarily have sex with the people you want to have sex with. You have sex with those around you. They've removed your ability to have a sexual relationship with a spouse and surrounded you with little boys. And then we're surprised this shit happens? No, not at all. And
real quick,
I think that the priests need to be excommunicated. They need to be tried criminally, and they need to reverse their stance. They need to let priests get married. Absolutely.
Also, and that's the Catholic Church is rooted in the patriarchal society. Like up until recently, you didn't have female priests. You didn't have altar girls. Everything was rooted in the male
men
and the direction of the male child, you know, being, you know, shuffled through the system. So that's why initially the abundance of abuse was geared towards boys, because that's what was available to them. In addition to what Rob was saying, in that the men were not the priests or the ones who wanted to rise within the church system were denied the opportunity to have relations with females, were denied the opportunity to be married. You had to be focused on God and nothing else. And that's just not realistic.
Okay, I'll give you 20 seconds.
No, don't even need them. Vatican City population is 800. The city's net worth stands at $15 billion with a B. So they have enough money. They are self-sustained. If you give them a single penny at this point, moving forward, knowing what they do, you are complicit. You are part of the problem. You want reform? Stop funding them.
Tell them to give them a dime until they change. George Fournier, this is a worldwide problem, not just France. The Catholic Church is responsible for not addressing the problem and simply moving priests to different parishes, hence all of the lawsuits coming about in recent years. It's shameful. Paulette Bertrand says, horrifying behavior. It sickens me. Salai says, so, so awful. It's rife all over the world across many religions. Just look at the Australian Commission into the Jehovah Witnesses, where the perpetrators are protected. Jacqueline Robinson says, outrageous. These cases should have been referred to law enforcement and treated like crimes in real time, and stop moving priests and pastors from one diocese to the next. George Fournier also says, unfortunately, there's no way to make the lives of the victims any better. There's no jail sentence or financial reward that can put the victims in the same position that they were in prior to abuse. And Jeanette Brown says, Lizzie, narcissism breeds within organized religion. So
absolutely.
Is this absolutely. Truth, lies, or shenanigans?
It's all of it. It's all of it.
We sighed at the same time, Rob. We sighed at the same time.
I give you, I say all of it, but I'm just going with lies. Great. I agree with you. It's all of it. What are you saying,
Gianni? It's truth because we found out more truth, and it's lies because they covered it up with disgusting lies.
All right. Great topic. Great topic. Thank you, Robbie Rock.
Truth, lies, shenanigans.
All right. It's time to get into, we got to lighten it up a little bit, get into our game show.
We can lighten it up. Washington football team lost. The Washington football team lost. So there's no way to lighten it up today.
All right, today's game, back by popular request from our host, the 7-Second Challenge. The app 7-Second Challenge will provide you a challenge to complete, and you will have 7 seconds to do it. If you do it successfully, judged by me, you get a point. Person with the most points wins the game and the coveted final thought for the show. All right, let's get into it. We got 5 rounds. We'll probably have to shorten that up. Let's see. First one, Lizzie's turn. Name 2 extinct animals. Go now.
The woolly mammoth and the Tyrannosaurus Rex.
All right. Good. That is... Yes, you nailed that easily. All right. Robbie Rock, name 4 mobile operators.
AT&T, Fido, Bell, Rogers. I'm naming some Canadian ones.
Canadian ones, I figured. Verizon. You know them all. All right, you nailed that. That was an easy one.
Don't forget about Moose Wave. Eh?
Oh, Gianni's got a tougher one. All right, she's got an actual challenge. Gianni Storm. Dance like one of your parents. You have 7 seconds. Go now.
She used to do this little shoulder thing.
Get it, Gianni. Get it.
Gianni moving the shoulder. All right, we're going to get that to you, Gianni. All right, y'all got 1 point. All right, let's see. Next one, Lizzie. Name 3 occasions to eat cake starting now.
Birthday. Wedding, anniversary.
Oh, you got easy ones. They need to give us...
About time!
Oh, of course, we got ads. Home pod mini.
Are they paying us? No.
I guess that's our payment for using their app. All right. So you nailed that one. Good one. All right, Robbie Rock, name 3 words that mean good.
Mean good.
Blessed. Divine. Great.
Oh, you guys are getting some easy ones. They need to do better.
Yeah,
these are too easy. All right. Oh my god. Gianni's getting all the hard ones.
You know what's funny? I can really do a handstand, but I can't. I'll mess up.
Yeah, give her a different one.
I can't just give her a different one.
Just skip it.
But no, she's gonna have to. No, she has to either do a handstand or she loses a point.
But just make it like she did a handstand.
No,
make it like she did a handstand.
What's the point? And nobody ever loses.
Jumps. Oh god.
Next game, we gonna have.
All right, Gianni, I'm gonna give that to you. You at least tried it.
Doing all of this physical stuff.
No, how else will we have someone win if it's not asked for something you're not willing to do?
I would have given you a handstand, all right.
I gave her the handstand. All right.
We're all winning. This is gonna be.
Oh my God, you got another easy one. 3 types of natural disaster, Lizzie.
We have hurricane, earthquake, and tsunami.
Those are good. We'll accept those. So you got nailed it. All right. Oh, this is great. Bobby Rock, who's bald. Please give yourself a new hairstyle some way, somehow, Robbie Rock.
Wow.
You have 7 seconds to give yourself a new hairstyle.
That's so easy, Rob.
Is that a hairstyle though?
If you're bald you have no hair,
exactly,
so
he failed it.
Anything is acceptable. You expect him to grow hair?
Yes, he needs to grow hair.
You grow hair.
You grow hair.
All right. Johnny Storm, name three things you would buy if you won the lottery.
I would buy a Bentley car, truck car.
You got lucky, I started late.
I would buy a Bentley car, I would buy a house, and I would buy all of you guys gifts.
Gifts? Oh. Okay, no, all
Chanel.
Right.
Chanel, thank you. Buy me some
All right,
food.
This is
thank
the
you.
absolute last round. We were over in time. All right, so I'm just going to give it to whoever gave the best answers. Okay. Or maybe what I'll do, actually, whoever does it first. Ooh. That's what we're going to do. Whoever does it first, whoever accomplishes whatever the next challenge is fastest, wins
that's
the game.
When he cheats. That's when he cheats.
I gotta reduce the time. We gotta figure out the time. You ready? All right.
That's when he cheats.
Combine two animals and make a new animal and name it. Start.
A squabbit. Squirreling around.
Dolphin bear.
Robbie Rock. Squabbit.
Like I said, that's when he cheats.
Nailed it. Great job, Robbie Rock. You won another game. All right. Good job, Robbie. All right, let's get some shout outs.
Let's grab it.
All right, Jen, shout out.
Shout out to today is World Homelessness Day. Contrary to popular belief, homelessness is still on the rise, and it's time to start understanding the causes of homelessness and try to eradicate. So, shout out.
All right, Robbie Rock.
All right, everyone, there's still time to get your suggestions in. I've gotten my pumpkin carving started. So go to the TLS fan page and please make some suggestions. It sure is. It's great. It's the great pumpkin, Charlie Brown. By request.
Love it.
That was Neo who asked for peanuts.
Peanuts. All right, Lizzie Enders, that's beautiful.
Shout out to Woodrow Wilson High School, class of 90 and 91 celebrated their 30th anniversary yesterday. Virginia. Their reunion was yesterday. Happy reunion, everyone. The class of 90 was, you know, put back a year because of COVID, but they came together this weekend. 92, we're on the clock.
All right.
Y'all know I'm the organizer, we on the clock. We on the clock, y'all.
All right, my shout out goes to Jacqueline Robinson and all of our TLS fans out there who took part in the TLS fans Facebook group where I asked people to help me out with choosing a topic. And I think because of that, I'm going to add a TLS fans topic to the show. So all our TLS fans group members can submit topics, and then our team will pick one to use on the show.
Yay. All right, Jackie.
Our final shout out goes out to the winner of the Pet Shenanigans of the Week.
Look at that tongue.
It's Carol Gascon with her cute pup sleeping on the sofa with its tongue sticking out in the caption, "Life's rough." R-U-F-F.
Beautiful. I feel you.
To see all of the pets or to post your favorite pet's photo or video, make sure you join the TLS Pet Shenanigans Facebook group. Find the Facebook group quickly by going to mypetshenanigans.com. Photo with the most likes and comments gets a TLS shout out each and every week. Okay, and that's officially all the time we have for today's show. I'd like to thank all of you for joining us. We hope that maybe you learned something, gained a new perspective, got some things off your chest. We'll be back live streaming in the next show, Sunday, October 17th, 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific. Our podcast is available every Monday evening, 6 p.m. So you'll get the audio version every Monday evening, 6 p.m. We're going to keep the cameras rolling and share with you our after show exclusively on TLSfans.com Facebook group. And it looks like our winner for the final thought is Robbie Rock. Close us out, Robbie.
Well, it is Canadian Thanksgiving this weekend, so really focus on the things that you are grateful for. And those people that you're grateful for, reach out to them. Let them know that you love them. And there's still a pandemic going on, so if you are getting together with people, do it safely, social distance, mask up, do all that fun jazz. But yeah, celebrate responsibly and really enjoy a good day.
All right, thank you,
Robbie. I'm really thankful that my cat is okay. I'm really thankful that my kitty is okay.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you, Lizzie, Gianni, Robbie Rock, and all our people behind the scenes, always working hard to bring you this awesome show. Ellen, Nesmi, Jose, Olivia E. But most importantly, I've got to thank you for watching and listening to our shenanigans each and every week. And we will see you guys next time.